Let's go back to John 14. John 14, and I suppose one of the best known verses in the Bible. John 14 and verse 6, prompted by the question of Thomas, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What a claim. Think about it. What a claim. The man sitting there with the other disciples in the upper room, and he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And if you're going to get to God, the entire world's got to come through me, says Jesus. That's the greatest claim that anyone could possibly think to make. We read this passage, for example, on Monday at Greg's funeral. We read it often at funerals. People like this passage at funerals. It was particularly mentioned to me to read it. And yet, do we actually really think what this passage is saying? Because it's a shocking passage. It's a scandalous passage. It's telling us, basically, that all the religion in the world is rubbish, except that which comes to God through Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying. It's saying something that's extremely unpopular today, extremely non-PC. It's so problematic, it's so difficult today that people who hold it are called divisive, they're called intolerant. And even many Christians struggle to really accept what Jesus is saying. Sadly, that he is the only way to the Father. Because we're surrounded by a culture that's saying something completely different. Our culture today holds three things as dear to its heart. Number one, people should be left to think and worship as they please. Evangelism then is bad. The attempt to try and convert someone else to your view as a Christian is bad in the eyes of the world, because people should be just left to believe what they want to believe. Number two, everyone has their own truth, and there's no absolute truth. It doesn't take much thought to realise that's a load of rubbish, but that's what people are believing today. Your truth's fine, my truth's fine, you have your truth, I'll have mine. But listen to that statement. Everyone has their own truth. There's no absolute truth. That is a statement of absolute truth. So it's a completely self-contradictory statement. And yet that's the kind of way people are thinking. People are irrational today. Absolutely irrational. We're encouraged then to leave people to whatever works for them, and not to try and show them what will be the most excellent way, as Paul calls it. And then, in religious terms, if there is a God, the world believes there are many roads that lead to him. So leave people to follow their own road. If you want to follow the Calvary road, that's fine. But let other people follow their road. Christians are told that. And it all sounds very plausible and very nice. And everyone seems to be thinking it these days. But the Christian just can't think that. Because, I mean, we read three sample passages that state very plainly, there's one God, there's one mediator between God and man. He is a true God, Jesus Christ, and eternal life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. What I want to do tonight is I want to think about a parable that you will often hear quoted to prove that all religions are fine and all religions are different roads to God. You've probably heard it, but I'm going to just read it to you before we get into it. And we're going to critique it. It's an ancient Indian parable. It's a parable of the blind man and the elephant. You come across it? No. Well, basically what happens is a group of blind men heard that a strange animal had come into town called an elephant. And they'd never come across an elephant before. And they said to one another, let's go and investigate this elephant and find out about it. We can't see it, but we can touch it, so we'll feel our way and find out what this elephant's like. So the six men went along, and they all had a little feel of the elephant. One man got hold of a leg of the elephant, and he said, the elephant is like, it's like a tree trunk. Another one got hold of the tail of the elephant, and well, it's like a rope, he said. Another one felt the side of the elephant. It's like a wall, he said. Another one felt the ear of the elephant. It's like a fan, said that one. Another one got round the front and got the trunk. It's like a snake, he said. And the other one got hold of the tusk. It's like a spear. And so they all went on their way and argued with one another about what the elephant was like. It's like a spear, says one. It's like a fan, says the other. It's like a rope. And they couldn't agree what the elephant was like. But of course, they were all right. They were all describing a bit of the elephant, but not the whole. And that, my friends, is what religion is like across the world. All religions have a little bit of the truth about God, and God is much bigger than all of them, but they're all right as far as they go. That's what the parables used to illustrate. And it is a load of rubbish. Okay? And I want to tell you why. Okay? Just a little diversion first, though. Because a man called John Godfrey Sachs wrote a poem about this. I'm not going to read the whole poem, but just to get the sort of gist of it, I'll read the first and the last two verses. It was six men of Indostan, to learning much inclined, who went to see the elephant, though all of them were blind, that each by observation might satisfy his mind. So the poem goes on and describes how each of them in turn feels the different parts of the elephant. And it finishes like this. And so these men of Indostan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion, exceeding stiff and strong, though each was partly in the right, and all were in the wrong. So, often theologic wars, the disputants, I ween, rail on in utter ignorance of what each other mean, and prate about an elephant not one of them has seen. So, to follow that, the gist would be, leave the Christian to hold the trunk of the elephant, leave the Muslim to hold the leg, and leave the Buddhist to hold the tail, and so on. And they're all right, but they're all seeing on their little. And so the story is much bigger. Or do we go with Jesus? He's the only way. He is the only way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through him. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. He sees the whole picture, and if you don't agree with him, it's not because you're seeing a different part of the picture, it's because you're wrong. Okay? So let's do a little bit of thinking about this parable. Does this parable tell us anything helpful about God and how to think about him? It sounds very wise. And people take it to be, as I said, the last word on religion. Well, let's think about it. First of all, it's an illustration. Okay, so first of all, if you see something being illustrated, you immediately think it's an illustration. Illustrations can be wrong. Okay, illustrations can be helpful. Illustrations can also be wrong. Christians often use illustrations. Sometimes they're not helpful at all. For example, the Bible never illustrates the Trinity. There's nowhere in the Bible that gives an illustration of the Trinity. But Christians are always trying to illustrate the Trinity. And they've got some funny illustrations, from shamrocks to saying that the Trinity is like water and ice and steam. Lots of things like that are really very unhelpful. So sometimes our illustrations are good, sometimes they're not so good. If you go with the Bible illustrations of God, the Bible illustrates God as a father, as a shepherd, as a king, and there's helpful things in these illustrations, But not all illustrations are helpful. And it's important to recognise, this is a good little thing for when you're thinking about things. If someone illustrates something, don't always go with the illustration. You might think, actually, that's not a good illustration. And this parable certainly isn't. It comes from ancient India, which didn't know anything about one God. It was a polytheistic part of the world. So it was never originally intended to illustrate that there's one God and lots of different ways of looking at it. It was never meant to illustrate that. Also, it's an illustration about a physical object that's trying to describe a spiritual reality who's not a physical object. And again, that ought to make us stop and think, is it right? The men in the illustration, in the parable, are blind. And they, of course, in the way it's often used, are meant to illustrate religious people. So it implies that different religious people are all really blind. Is it possible for anyone to be religious and not blind? Could it be that some people who actually claim to know God really know God? The illustration wouldn't suggest so, but Jesus certainly would suggest that his followers can see clearly the truth. The men in the illustration, the blind men, they don't do what they could have done, which was investigate the elephant fully. They didn't need to stop with the tusk or with the tail. They could have felt their way around the whole elephant and got the whole truth if they'd bothered. But they didn't, and they didn't get the true picture as a result. And because they didn't feel their way all around the elephant, if they'd all done that, they would have agreed. But because they didn't, they all disagreed. Often disagreement is because people haven't put the effort in to actually find out what they're talking about, first of all. And if they had felt their way all the way around the elephant and got a full picture, they'd all have had the same picture, they'd have had a right picture, and they would have known what a wrong picture was. So next time, if they got feeling around a giraffe, they'd know it wasn't an elephant. And the same way, if people spend the time to actually get to know God, they'll know when people are talking about a false God as well. If the men had felt their way all around the elephant and got to know the elephant properly, they could have introduced other blind people to elephants too. And there's people who have different views of elephants. There are people who don't really know if they exist. Agnostics, you know. There are people who just don't believe in elephants at all. Atheists. There are people who think that giraffes are elephants. They're Muslims and Buddhists and people of other religions. But if those blind men had just spent the time going round the elephant properly and all got to an agreed position on what an elephant really was, they could have shown other people who were blind what an elephant is and converted them to the truth of about elephants. Just as you can understand, as Christians can, if we take the time to get to know our God, we can explain him and show him to others. So the blind men are really guilty because they fail to investigate the elephant properly when they could have done. And because they fail, they fail to see the full picture. They miss the opportunity to come to agreement and unity with one another. They miss the opportunity to reject false views. And they miss the opportunity of being able to enlighten other blind people about the truth. So they're guilty. They're guilty of letting the elephant down because they misrepresent the elephant. And they're guilty of falling short in trying to find out what the truth was. Just as people who are sinners fall short of the glory of God because they don't seek him as they should. Okay. I'm going to switch the heater off here because I am actually warm. Take my jacket off too. There's something else about this illustration. there is someone in the illustration who can see the whole picture. Did you notice that person? Who is the person in the illustration who can see the truth? I'm not talking about the elephant, because elephants aren't so smart. I'm talking about the narrator, the person who's actually telling you the story, the parable. So the narrator sees the whole thing happen. The blind men are all around the elephant, and the narrator sees it all. And that's another weakness in the illustration. Because at the heart of this illustration, which is supposed to be about how people can't really see the truth, there's someone who can see the truth. And it's the narrator. He does see the truth, or she does see the truth about the elephant, and is actually able to tell it to others, because they told it to us. And we can tell it to others too, because the narrator told us what an elephant's really like. And it's got tusks and tail and big side and ears and all the rest of it. So the narrator can see. The narrator has the truth and not error or part truth. We're not saying the narrator knows all the truth, just like we don't say that anyone that follows Jesus knows the whole truth about God. We don't say that. But the narrator, as far as the narrator can see what's going on, sees truly. The blind men don't see truly, but the narrator does. That the narrator can see the full picture of what an elephant looks like. So, if we're trying to illustrate that everyone in the world is only has a very partial picture of God, that illustration just doesn't work. Because in the heart of the illustration, there's someone who can see the whole picture. And it's the narrator. The narrator then is in a unique position. The narrator can see where the blind men are all going wrong. And the narrator is actually guilty in the story of a lack of compassion and a lack of honour for the elephant. A lack of compassion for the blind men, because the narrator could go and say, "Hey guys, there's more to feel." Or the narrator could just explain this picture to them and tell them what an elephant looked like. But the narrator hasn't done that. And the narrator is happy for the blind men to go and misrepresent the elephant everywhere they go by just telling a very small part of the story. That's not how it should be. If we see the truth through Jesus Christ, first of all, we want to honour the God whom we are describing in our truth. And secondly, we want to have compassion on people around us who maybe only see a very little when we see so much more. Not because we're better, but our eyes are open. We're no longer blind. We can see the true God and eternal life through Jesus Christ. To keep that to ourselves dishonors God, and it shows a lack of compassion for the people around us. So, this illustration is pretty useless. But you will hear it if you happen to tune into people who are trying to explain the religious situation in the world. You'll hear it used often. But it's worse than useless. The fact is, there is a true elephant. Okay? And it is possible to investigate that elephant thoroughly, even if we start off as blind men or blind women, and to arrive at the truth about the elephant. We shouldn't sign up to one elephant religion or another until we've fully investigated the elephant for ourselves. Let's not be happy to sign up to the elephant as a rope religion just because we happen to be people who've had a wee feel of the tail. We think it's like a rope. We're not to be like those blind men. Those who seek will find, Jesus promised. But we've got to use the powers God's given us, even though we start off blind, to fully investigate. To fully investigate our God. And if we seek Him properly, we will find Him. Too many people stick with their religion or their lack of religion because they haven't really thought about it. They haven't really used their powers. They haven't really used their effort to actually find anything out about Him. They're not really interested in the truth. They just stick with their own view and they use their smartness to argue for it. And most people can do that. And most people are smart enough to be able to argue for their viewpoint. Even if their viewpoint is wacky, they can still do it. The more that people feel the tusk, the more that people feel the tusk of the elephant, the more vehemently they'll argue that elephants are like spears. But there's a lot more. And we need to not just blind ourselves by arguing for our own viewpoint. We need to actually investigate thoroughly what we're talking about. In the case of the blind men in the illustration, they were without excuse for their false views because they just didn't take the time and make the effort to feel their way around the whole elephant, in which case they would all have come to the same conclusion. So we should learn to listen when it comes to God. And if these blind men had listened to one another, they could have thought, well, why does he say the elephant's like a wall? Why does he say the elephant is like a snake? And they could have figured it out a bit better. But instead of listening, they just got on their own religious high horse and started arguing. But even better, they could have asked the narrator, "You over there who can see what we're doing and what we're up to, what is an elephant like? And if you don't see clearly, you should ask someone who does. You should ask someone who does." And that someone ultimately is Jesus Christ, but his people will be very glad to tell a clearer picture of the Father and of the way to the Father, because they've been able to see it. They've been able to find it out for themselves. These blind men ought to have had a realistic view of themselves too. They were blind, but they acted like they were not blind. Knowing that they hadn't felt the whole elephant, they still pronounced adamantly about what elephants are like, as though they had. That's foolish. There's plenty of people out there, I hope there's no one in here, but there's plenty of people out there who are blind, but they still pronounce as though they can see. And they'll tell you what they think about Jesus, and they'll tell you what they think about God, and they haven't seen anything of Jesus or of God. But they still think they can tell you who have. That's foolishness. People ought to know their limitations. If you're blind, recognize that you're blind. If you don't have a good basis for an understanding of God yet in your life, then don't pretend you have. Recognize the limitations of your understanding and seek a fuller understanding through Jesus Christ, God's Son. We are speaking about God here, really. We're not speaking about elephants, really. And we have to respect God. I guess you have to respect an elephant too, but you definitely have to respect God. He is greater than we are. Elephants are kind of greater than we are too, I suppose, in some ways. But God is definitely greater than we are. And if we misrepresent God, we're doing Him a great disservice. And that's what world religions are doing. They are doing God a great disservice. They are talking about God, the creator of the vast panoply of the universe, as though He was like a fish or a metal sculpture or as though it was the moon that created everything. There's religions of all kinds out there, and they're shocking in the way that they try to describe the elephant, if you like, in the way they try to describe God. And the reason why people misrepresent God is because they refuse to find out more about him. They refuse to ask those who do know. In other words, they're too proud of their own views to have their views changed by listening to those who really know what they're talking about. The followers of the one who said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Let me just finish by turning the illustration around a wee bit. And in case you think I'm clever with this, I got it from Wikipedia. Okay, so. Elephants are bigger than people, just as God is bigger than we are. So, there were some blind elephants, and they heard that a strange new creature called a man had come into town, and they decided to go and find out what a man was like. The first blind elephant felt the man thoroughly. "What is the man like?" asked the other blind elephants. "The man is flat," said the elephant. The others all felt the man in turn, and they all agreed that the man was very flat. Okay? You're all looking at me. Yes, that really is as sick as it sounds. The elephant is bigger than the man. God is bigger than us. Just as we need to beware of being trampled on by elephants, we certainly need to beware of the judgment of God. Jesus once spoke to some very religious people who were blind, yet they swore that they could see God clearly. But because they were blind, they rejected Jesus. And in doing so, they rejected the true God whom he represented. And this is what Jesus said to them. He said, "What is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." That's the elephant illustration really there, isn't it? Be prepared to have your wrong views of God smashed by Jesus. Smashed on the rock of Christ so that you can get right views. Many people of other religions who have had the insight to seek further have had that experience of their religion being smashed on Christ. It wasn't easy. It was a very humbling and mortifying experience for them. But it brought them to a place where they realized what the truth was, and that the truth was found in Jesus Christ. Better to have the rock of Christ, better to fall on the rock of Christ and be broken so that you can have your wrong views destroyed and you can come to a right understanding of him, than to have Christ fall on you in judgment because you've rejected him and you've rejected a right understanding of God and held on to your blindness. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's a man who's seeing, who speaks. A man who sees with perfect clarity. He's the one we need to listen to, not all the blind people in our society who say dumb things like, "All religions lead to God." Because sadly, that is the view of the blind who haven't taken the time or made the effort to find out the truth. God's judgment is coming. And if we see, we need to make sure that we tell those who are blind the truth about our God.